I'm so encouraged in these recent days and weeks of the new year of how God has been answering our prayers, of seeing the church rise up in this hour to pursue justice. Just a few weeks ago, the Passion Conference, if you're not familiar with Passion, it's Louis Giglio's movement, and now it's a church as well, led by Chris Tomlin. We sing a lot of their songs. For their annual conference just a few weeks back, tens of thousands of students showed up. The theme was freedom, and they fundraised within 4 days over $3.3 million to combat human trafficking in our day and age. And that was huge. I was so encouraged that this leading movement and ministry of the evangelical world in the Western world today is getting on board, rising up, and being an influence for this generation and the next. Also, just a couple months ago, Google donated over $11 million to organizations like Not For Sale and others that are fighting human trafficking, and that was encouraging as well. But the influence of Passion on churches is more impressive and more important in my perspective. Because the church must lead this fight for freedom and justice. Why? Because justice and righteousness is the foundation of the throne of the God that we serve. Psalm 89:14. And it says, "And love and faithfulness goes before him." So how God rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is through justice, righteousness, love, and faithfulness. So as we've been going through some of the key foundational elements of our ministry this year, our mission, our vision, our values, and such, today we want to highlight another element that is very important for our ministry. And so especially today, I want to focus on the biblical basis from which we are pursuing justice in our ministry. Our desire is that you and I would grow and gain a heart of justice and righteousness. But how? That is the question. That's what we want to look at today. How do we gain a heart of justice and righteousness? I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 82 as we look at how we can gain this heart that is the foundation of God's throne of justice and righteousness. And you can follow along with me in your outlines as well. Now, the first step we must take to grow this heart that is also foundational to how God governs is to turn away from wickedness. So everyone repeat, turn away from wickedness. Let's look at Psalm 82, verses 1 and 2. Shall we read these two verses together? Ready, begin? God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Now, verse 1 is a reminder that God will come and take his place as judge one day. Now, if you look at verse 1 as well, it says, in the midst of the gods. What does that mean? It's basically the term gods is a reference to kings, rulers, those who have power and authority to do something, and especially about justice. Okay, so people who have influence to do something towards justice, he is addressing them. And he is reminding them that everyone who has influence and power and position, you will be judged one day. There will be a day of judgment coming to all, and God will judge all, especially if we have the ability to maintain justice and righteousness. Let's look, if you look at Matthew chapter 25, I'll be reading from verse 31 and following. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, so again, even in Old Testament, New Testament, there are often references to the judgment of Christ that is coming. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, whose foundation is justice and righteousness. Verse 32. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. then the king will come to those on his right and say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And then right after that, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into everlasting punishment, because you did not feed me, you did not clothe me, you did not visit me, you did not care for me. And they'll say, what? When did we not do this? And he'll answer the same way. Whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do it to me. So we see that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they make reference to a judgment day. But there are two judgments that we need to clarify here. There will be a day of judgment for salvation and a judgment day for rewards. The judgment for salvation will be based on faith alone in Christ. Nothing we can do. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the test for our judgment of salvation. Amen? Our whole series of Galatians was centered around this theme. That is the judgment day of salvation. But there will also be a judgment for rewards. Salvation will be based on works. I'm sorry, by faith. Salvation will be based on faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. But our rewards, that judgment, will be based on our works. What we have done will determine the depth of rewards. And specifically, when we do a study of Scripture, the types of works that bring forth the greatest rewards have to do with justice and righteousness. So, it's important that we gain this heart for these areas. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23. It says, your princes are rebels. Again, people of position, power, influence, ability. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. So there is a rebuke to these people of ability, power, position. They are called rebels, thieves. They love bribes and love and run after gifts. Basically, they are greedy, materialistic, selfish. And then he says this, they do not bring justice to the fatherless. They do not care for the cause of the widow. They do not care for the fatherless, the widow, the orphan, the elderly, the vulnerable. To not care for these people, they are put in the same category as those who do evil. But what is evil? One biblical definition of evil is apathy towards injustice. That is evil. When there is wrong happening and you don't care. When there is injustice happening to the weak, to the fatherless, to the widow, to the orphan, when there is evil injustice happening and you are apathetic, that is an evil in the sight of God. Justice is God's standard of goodness and righteousness. And when we don't care about that, it results in evil. When people do not care for the righteousness of God, they are deemed as rebels. But before we get too caught up and concerned about judging all these other people who are doing evils, we need to begin to truly gain a heart of justice and righteousness and to truly turn away from wickedness, we need to realize that we are evil. Gaining a heart of justice and righteousness begins with realizing my heart is one of wickedness and injustice and rebellion against a holy God. My heart is filled with selfishness and pride. You know, one of the biggest dangers that I have been finding in this justice movement that we are part of, for all people, not just Christians, but for all people in this movement, is the danger of becoming self-righteous. Of thinking their evil and sins are far worse than mine. But that is why Jesus says, look at the forest in your own eye before you try to get the sawdust out of your brother's eye. You know, those who have been part of our Hope Be Restored, our Freedom and Justice Ministry meetings, you know, that sometimes I've been angry. You know, after we hear reports about the true condition of these women in South Korea, there have been some meetings, I am so angry. And I will literally pray for heart attacks to happen for the pimps. I mean, I am praying for fire to come down. I am praying for earthquakes to happen in the breaking grounds where these women are broken into the profession of prostitution. I mean, I am praying, like, just evil to just come down and consume them, you know? So if you want to be a part of those prayer meetings, you can join us for But, you know, as I was preparing this, you know, God was really convicting my heart to maybe change my prayers a little bit. That before we come down so hard on the greed of these pimps, to examine the greed in our own hearts. Before we come down so hard on the lust of the customers and the Johns of the red light districts, do we see the lust in our own hearts? Only then can we have righteous anger instead of self-righteous anger. But the only way to truly turn from wickedness is to turn to God. You see, the way that we turn from wickedness is not to roll up our sleeves and say, all right, Eddie, you've been preaching against all this stuff, so I'm not, you know, I'm going to avoid looking at certain magazines. I'm not going to look at those internet porn sites anymore. I'm not going to go and hang out in the red light. I'm not going to do these things. It's not about rolling up your sleeves and forcing yourself, trying harder to be better and more good. True turning away from wickedness, true righteousness begins with turning to God. It begins by realizing my wickedness, my fallenness in my heart, and turning to the Lord for mercy and grace. Then are we in the right place to be able to do the right things. A heart of justice and righteousness begins with focusing on the wrongs that we have done to God and others, receiving mercy and grace. Then, and only then, can we see the wrongs that others do in the right lights. It starts with my heart. Not the murder there, but the hatred here. Not the adultery there, but the lust here. Not the thief there, but my coveting heart here. The only way we can turn from wickedness is by turning to the Lord. Amen. It's an important place to begin. Again, it is so disturbing. As I've been meeting more people and getting emails from more people who are also engaged in this justice movement, again, believers and non-believers, it is a scary thing to see what happens when you forget that we too are a fallen people who sin. There is a strong spirit of self-righteousness that I have seen, and I am scared for that to happen in our own hearts. So it begins by turning to the Lord in honesty and humility before the cross. Amen? We must begin there. Secondly, to gain a heart of justice and righteousness, we must take care of the vulnerable. So everyone repeat, take care of the vulnerable. So after rebuking them for their wickedness, God reveals what he expected them to do. So Psalm 82 begins with a warning, really. saying, hey, everyone in power, influence, all you leaders out there, all you people who with ability to help the weak, the widow, the fatherless, realize judgment day is coming. I'm going to call you all to account for what you did to these vulnerable people. And then he says, this is what I expected. This is what I expect from us. Let's look at Psalm 82, verses 3 to 5. It says, give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. All throughout Scripture, we see God's hearts for the fatherless and the widow, the weak, the poor, and the needy. Let me give you just a small sample. Exodus 22, 22. You shall not mistreat the widow or the fatherless child. Deuteronomy 10, 18. God executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. Deuteronomy 24, 17. You shall not pervert justice for the fatherless or the widow. Deuteronomy 24, 19. Leave extra grain from your fields during harvest for the fatherless and the widow and the sojourner to pick up. Psalm 146, 9. The Lord upholds the fatherless and the widow. Zechariah 7, 10. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, or the poor. And this is just a small snippet. It is throughout Scripture. God's warning not to do evil or injustice to the fatherless or the widow, but rather to care for them. But who exactly are the fatherless and the widow? Are they literally just a wife that loses her husband? Are they literally just a child that does not have a father? The fatherless and the widow in biblical times, they were the most vulnerable people in society. Money, land, homes, ownership, all was passed on through the male, through the father to the son. So if you do not have a male figure in your family, you cannot own anything and you are the most vulnerable of the vulnerable. That is why in the book of Ruth, when Naomi, in the opening chapter, when she is recorded as losing her husband and two sons, that was trying to stress her misery, that she was so vulnerable. She had no one to care for her any longer. Now, this reveals something utterly crucial for us to know about God, his heart, and his kingdom. This revelation of who God is should revolutionize how we live. What is that revelation? That the most vulnerable are the most valuable to God. The most vulnerable in society are the most valuable in God's kingdom here on earth. The more rejected they are from the world, the more rewarded you will be for serving them. The poor, the orphan, the elderly, the trafficked prisoner, do you realize that they are the MVPs of God's kingdom here on earth? Do you realize that? This was a radical paradigm shift in my understanding of how the church needs to be involved with the world. This was a radical paradigm shift for how I began investing my life. You see, those who get it, those who understand who the MVPs are in God's kingdom, they are gladly investing time, energy, money to feed the poor, to care for the elderly, to fight for the orphaned and the trafficked prisoner. Those who get it understand that it is zero sacrifice, only blessing and benefit to care for the vulnerable in our communities. That is why Jesus said, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you clothed me. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. He's saying, do you get it? That to care for them is caring for Jesus. So if the most vulnerable in our society are the ones heaven takes special notice of, who are they in Korea? Who are they for our city of Seoul? There are many, but I was counting on what our church focuses on now, at least for now, and there are eight. So if I could get the next slide, John, if you could get us the next slide, and keep it up there for now. These are the eight categories of vulnerable people in our community that our church is seeking to care for. They are the poor. They are the elderly. They are the prisoners, the literal prisoners in jail. They are the refugees, specifically the North Korean refugees of this nation, in this nation. The orphans, the traffic victims, the unborn, and the single moms. Now, again, there are more, but as I was counting how our ministry is focusing in on these vulnerable people of our community, I realized that they were eight. So again, please keep this list up there for now. Look at Isaiah 1:17 in your outlines. Let's read that together, shall we? Ready, begin. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Now, the first thing he says is learn to do good. So everyone say learn. We must learn to do good. We must learn how to care for the vulnerable in our communities. How? By seeking justice for them, correcting oppression, bringing justice to the fatherless, pleading the widow's cause. Again, caring for the vulnerable in our community. We must learn to care for the vulnerable in our society. And this fits perfectly for the mission of OEM, because our mission is to what? Get you on mission with God by serving the church, the city, and the nations. And so this is an easy way for us to fulfill that mission and to serve this city. We must remind ourselves that the church's role as salt and light is about community transformation. We are called to bring transformation through the power and presence of the gospel in the city that we live in. The church's role. Why does God put a church within a certain demographic? It is so that we might bring transformation to that area. That is why we are called salt and light. They are change agents. You see, the condition of a city is the temperature gauge of the health of the church of that city. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 82. It says, they have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. Again, people who do not get it. People who are not in right covenant relationship with God. They don't know. They do not understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? They are shaken. A strong foundation is built upon justice and righteousness. Without it, our foundations are destroyed. You see, if the church neglects justice and neglects the vulnerable of our city, the city's foundations are destroyed. Do you realize this? This is very humbling for me to receive from the Lord as I was preparing this. You know what God is saying here? In terms of the connection between justice and the foundations of a city? So before we get, again, self-righteous as Westerners in this country, and before we start pointing the finger at all the sins of our nation, of our cities, that I cannot believe Korea has this kind of corruption in the government or such messed up families or such corporate society culture where traffic victims and sex buying is a regular part of the corporate lifestyle. Before we get too easily aroused up in our self-righteous anger and point the finger at the sins of our city, we have to remind ourselves is that the situation in terms of how sinful our city is a direct reflection of the condition of the church in Seoul. It is telling us that we are not doing our job of being change agents through the power of the gospel to bring community transformation in schools, families, workplaces, in the corporate sector. We need to begin with ourselves. The sins that are saturating this country, it is a reflection of the condition of the church of this country. Therefore, we must value the vulnerable. Amen. So I want to introduce you to these areas of ministry we have to the vulnerable of this nation. And I ask you, as we look at this list one more time, to prayerfully be involved with at least one on a regular basis. Because to ignore the plight of the weak and the vulnerable is evil. To ignore these people in their hours of weakness, it is evil in the sight of God. But to serve the most vulnerable, that is to serve the most valuable to the heart of God. We'll have more contact details and information on our website, so you can go to our website and see how and who you can contact to get more involved in these areas. But I want to go through this list right now so that you can know what we are doing in these areas. And also so you know that we are not a one-dimensional mercy ministry church by any means. So for the poor, we have a monthly soup kitchen that feeds hundreds of people each day. And just so that you guys know, if you are non-Korean and, you know, these Korean holidays when everybody visits their family, you're alone and you're lonely, the soup kitchen, they would love your help because their volunteers usually also go back home to visit their relatives. So if you don't have family here during these Thanksgiving, Lunar New Year type holidays when everybody goes away, volunteer services. Be the hands and feet of Jesus, but also feed Jesus on these days. So that's one way. We have this every month. For the elderly, we also serve the Donggu Senior Center, and our sister Hannah oversees that. And you can be a part of that. Even if you can't speak Korean, that's okay. You can entertain them by trying to, right? That's what a lot of our staff does to each other, okay? For the prisoners, we have opportunities to visit, teach, and build friendships with a women's international prison here that one of our admins also is heading up for us there. For some reason, we've been trying for a long time to get into to serve a men's prison, but logistically, there's been so much red tape, so you can pray about that. But at least for women, there's opportunities for you to visit them. For refugees, especially North Korean refugees in this country, we have teaching opportunities, volunteer opportunities at schools that teach specifically North Korean refugees. Also, we have summer camps that also needs your volunteer help as well. The orphans, we've been pushing this for many months, years now. Variety of opportunities to serve from infants to high school students, orphans that you can serve and bless and love there. Trafficked victims through our Hopi Restored, our ministry that is engaged in the fight for those who are enslaved in this capacity. I want to give God glory and a testimony. The fact that we started this ministry through this church, within the past 6 months, three more churches in Korea began anti-trafficking ministries. And they would not have done so if Hope Be Restored did not exist. So I want to give God glory that we are beginning to see and influence more churches to be actively engaged. Amen? Give the Lord glory for that one. Also, the unborn, as we've been fighting for to be their voice, through Holt Crisis Pregnancy Centers and also Women's Hope Center that we're going to be partnering with in Pohang, but also we want to see a center set up in Seoul. That's another area that you can help and volunteer your services. But now, I want to look at that last group, and that has to do with single moms. That is a new category you probably did not hear me talk about much, because that category has come up more recently as I've been doing my research and study for our trafficking ministry and our orphan care ministry. It's a category that kept coming up. And let me share with you the situation about single moms in Korea. So with that, I want to launch a new ministry that we'll be calling Single Love, because we want to love those who are single, yet without proper care for their children. Currently in Korea, there are more than 200,000 single moms with kids under the age of 18. 200,000. Okay. 62% of them say that they are suffering deeply because of economic challenges. Half of them, so about 100,000 of these Korean girls, I mean, let's really call them for who they are, girls, these little girls, these young girls in Korea, 100,000 of them to try to care for their children or child or their family, half of them work part-time or short-term contracts because of childcare issues, because they have to be back home to take care of the kids, and because they lack professional skills, and most of them work for very low-paying jobs because of low education and low job opportunities and skills. The monthly average of these single moms in this country, monthly average of income, $500 to $1,000. That's like nothing. Okay, most are in debt, obviously, because the bills, just like a lot of our bills, are more than $1,000. Think about rent, okay? I mean, utilities, food, diapers, clothes. I mean, that it's easily going to go over $1,000 per month. Childcare took up most of their expenditures. The average, they needed to spend about $360 for childcare. 44% of them, they borrow on average per month $50 to $100 per month for living costs. 22% of them borrow $300 to $1,000 per month to try to pay for child living expenses. So obviously you see that they're in a cycle of poverty in this country and vulnerability for Korea. Again, often less educated because they have to drop out of high school, many of them because they are pregnant, and many of them are rejected and abandoned by families because of the shame factor of being pregnant without marriage. So they have no opportunity to study more or advance in job opportunities, and because of this, many of them have to give up their children to the orphanages because they simply cannot afford to keep them. So that's the orphan care connection. Where does the trafficking connection come in? Because of the surmounting debts that they incur every month, thousands, for some of them thousands per month, the debt, they need a lot of money because loan sharks are breathing down their neck. So where do they turn? To the wrong loan sharks or to the red light districts? And so as we've been trying to bring freedom for the prisoners of this nation, as we have been trying to be a voice for the orphan, my research has kept pointing also to this category of vulnerability of this nation, and that are the single unwed moms. And we need to care for them. We could judge them like the rest of this country does, saying, you know, they deserved it. You got yourself into this mess. Your moral decisions do not match with our moral standard as Christians. We could judge them like the rest of the world, or we can be like Jesus and love them and care for them. Amen. Almost no one is caring for them, so we will care for them. So from today, we will launch Single Love. And there are four practical areas that you can help out with. And again, we'll be giving you guys more information both online and through future handouts. But there are four areas that we want to ask for your help in for this ministry to the single unwed moms of this nation. Number one is donations. Obviously, financial donations will always be helpful, but baby clothes, children clothes, new or used, and all parents here, you guys know, I mean, we've been the beneficiaries of this. You guys often have more clothes for your baby than they could wear, and they usually outgrow them before they could wear all of them. And so donate them. A lot of these nice clothes that we give to each other, these moms cannot afford. Also, to provide, donate both regular food like rice and also baby food and other types of practical needs, caring for them, diapers, right? Because babies go through a lot of diapers every day, right? And this is the cool thing too. Holt Children's Services, I share this vision. They totally want to partner with us, help us with that. They will store everything that we donate. So we have storage with Holtz as well. So that's one thing, donation. Second area that we could use your help is through childcare. Our pastoral staff, we have realized and benefited from you. Many of the ladies of OEM, you love babysitting, and we thank you for that. And we would love for you to offer your services as a childcare babysitter to take care of their children so that they will not have to pay hundreds of dollars for childcare and they would be able to save more money and also get more job opportunities or more educational opportunities. Also, tutoring, third area is tutoring. All you teachers out there, English and other subjects, they need to learn because they did drop out of high school, a lot of them. They do not have a high school education. They're trying to study for their high school equivalency diplomas, and we would love to help them learn English and other subjects in that capacity, provide scholarships for further education, and partner with schools as well to do presentations on sex education, on abortion, all these things. Fourth, what I would love to see come out of this ministry are provide, through donations, maybe once a year, celebrations. Because of their poverty, strickenness, they can't have a lot of picnics, banquets, that type of thing. So I want to have maybe once a year host a banquet just to feed them a good meal. They could fellowship together or even go to a water park in Korea where something that they've never even been able to dream of affording for their children. But to have all these moms together and see their children enjoy just having fun in this country in that way. Wouldn't it be beautiful to see the church serve these people in that way? Amen. Amen. So this is what I want us to do. But there's another campaign for the orphan that I would love your help with, and that is called Voice of Love. And I have an intro video. It's only a few minutes. So if you could watch that, I'll give you an update on this situation as well.
Adoption is a beautiful thing. I think every child has the right to be loved by parents and a family and receive the security of being raised in that loving environment. And I think adoption is a beautiful example of what can happen to a child who had unfortunate circumstances experience something wonderful again. And Korea has been leading the way. Korea has been a wonderful example throughout the years of embracing the beauty of adoption. Since the inception of international adoptions, Korea has seen over 160,000 children receive new homes of love and care throughout the years. But sadly, because of some of the negative voices that have been expressed throughout the recent years, Korea decided to establish a quota and a limitation on how many children can be adopted internationally. In 2007, that meant the beginning of a new limitation for many children. Only a couple thousand children were able to be adopted internationally that year, and they've been reducing it by 10% every year since then, and they hope to eliminate international adoptions altogether by the year 2016. And I believe that is wrong. That is leaving tens of thousands of children without homes. So what we want to do is we want to bring back the voice, the better voice, the louder voice, and the bigger voice. Your voice to let the Korean government know that this quota is not in the best interest of the children. What we want to see is and hear are the testimonies from around the world of people and families who have been blessed. Koreans who have been blessed through international adoptions and parents who have been blessed through adopting Koreans into their homes.
Some of the best days of my life were spent in Korea meeting three of my children for the very first time. It was then that I discovered that adoption was not just about adding to my family, it was really about being a voice for those who don't have one. And that's why at Hope for Orphans we are so excited to be partnering with Pastor Eddie Byung with this campaign. Your 30-second video could literally help thousands of Korean orphans to get a forever family. If you're a Korean adoptee or if you've adopted a child from Korea, here's how you can help us. First, create a short video testimony, about 30 seconds or so, telling how adoption has blessed your life. Second, upload the video to YouTube.com. You might have to create an account to do so. And then third, submit the link to your video at voiceoflove.org. We'll gather all the submitted videos and create a powerful YouTube channel that will be promoted to our contacts within the South Korean government. Will you help us today? We need your video as soon as possible. We need them to be in no later than March the 30th. We'll use as many of your videos as we can. We won't be able to use all of them, but we will do our very best.
So thank you for being a voice of love, and thank you for supporting our heart's desire to see the world know that adoption is a beautiful thing.
All right, so that's a campaign that we just started a couple weeks ago. And as you do know that because of that quota system, that is leaving a lot of children left to be basically stuck in the whole system within this government. Tens of thousands of children waiting. Now, if Koreans were adopting, we wouldn't even have to address this issue. But because they are not adopting that much, that is leaving so many people waiting for homes. And because of the quota, internationally people are waiting till the next year. Once that quota is filled, that waiting list has to go another year while there are still plentiful children who are waiting to be adopted. So we would love your help for that. And with that, I want to show you, it's just 30 seconds, one of the first testimonies that came in, and this is Jenna's story. After she heard about Voice of Love, she submitted her 30-second testimony on the blessing that adoption has been for her life. So we want to watch this. It's just 30 seconds, so hold on tight for that one.
My name is Jenna, and I was one of those 160,000 children who were adopted from South Korea. My family always wanted a baby girl, and now our lives are complete because we have each other. I was given a wonderful life of opportunity because of International Adoption Services. I believe that all children and families, regardless of place, should be given the chance for a wonderful life of happiness. Please help support the Voice of Love's mission to keep giving International Adoption Services so another child can have the chance like I did.
So this is the voice that we need to be heard, that adoption is a beautiful thing. And we do this out of obedience to Proverbs 31:8-9. So if you could look at that, I provided for you in your outlines. If we could read that together. Ready to begin? Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. So what it's saying is those in power are to protect the weak. Those with wealth are expected to provide for the poor. And those with a voice are expected to speak up for those whose voices are silenced. And I would love your help with this campaign by being a voice for the orphans that are literally crying out for a home in this nation. So these are the ways that you could help us with the Voice of Love campaign. Number one, post the website, voiceoflove.org, on your Facebook and Twitters and all your social media networks. And let this message be known. Get it out there. Ask friends to post it as well, because even if you do not know of someone who is adopted as a Korean internationally, your a friend of a friend may know. And so we want to spread this message out there. And also as for video testimonies, as they come in, watch them. Begin increasing the viewing stat for these videos so that the Korean government realizes that internationally they are hearing the voice that adoption is a beautiful thing. And lastly, keep praying that the quota will be eliminated. The reason why we do this is because we want the Korean government to know that a lot of people care about the orphans in waiting without a home in this nation. Amen? So can I get your help with this one? Amen? All right, so I really would appreciate that. And it's a simple way to be a voice for the orphans who are crying out for a home. Psalm 82, verse 6 and 7 says, "And you are God, sons of the Most High, all of you, nevertheless," again, people of power, "like men, you shall die and fall like any prince." Every one of us will die, the powerful and the poor. And we want to invest our lives for the things that matter most, the things of God's heart and God's kingdom. Only one life, it'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And finally, to truly gain a heart of justice and righteousness, we are to trust God as judge. So everyone repeat, trust God as judge. So as I mentioned earlier, one danger of this justice movement is self-righteousness. Another danger that I'm finding is to think that we care more about justice than God does. Because we are impatient. Come on, God, don't you see what's happening? Why don't you show up and do something as if God is not doing anything? We have to remember that God's ways are higher. His wisdom is higher. His timing is higher. God cares infinitely more for the weak and the vulnerable than we ever could, and we must trust Him as we fight for justice and freedom. Let's look at verse 8 of Psalm 82. It says, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. God alone is judge, and all the world belongs to Him." So before we start getting bitter, we must always see God as bigger. He is bigger than our problems. His heart is bigger than ours. And one easy sign to see if we are trusting in God as judge is if we are praying for justice. Let's look at Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. Can we read that together? Ready, begin? "And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth?" God will bring forth justice, but He is saying, but when He comes, will He find faith? Will He find people praying for justice? Will He find people who are trusting in the judge when He comes? The mark of a faith-filled, justice-seeking believer is prayer. Night and day, persistent prayer, trusting that God will bring forth justice. You see, we are not the ultimate solution to the injustices of the world. Yes, we have a vital role that we must play, but the ultimate solution is provided by God, not man. You see, God's solution to injustice is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we think we are the solution or man's ability is the solution, we are feeding the humanistic spirit that is driving this movement for the rest of the world. But we are a people who trust and believe God will make all things right one day. Our role right now is to pray and obey. As we gain instruction from the Lord, obey. As we go to these dark places with the gospel, through our life and our lips, shine forth that light in declaring and demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to share with you a pretty cool testimony that happened this past Friday. 2 weeks ago, I got a call from Handong International Law School saying that they are going to be in Seoul this past Friday, and they really wanted to meet up. And so, you know, I was like, cool. I mean, if you're going to come all the way here, you want to meet up, we'll meet up. So at first I thought they wanted to meet up because IGM is going to be coming to Korea in March and they wanted to hook up with them. So I thought that was what the meeting was for. But a couple of things happened that I want to share with you that's pretty cool and encouraging. Number one, first of all, it was really refreshing for me to talk with them. Christian lawyers, I know some of you guys think that's an oxymoron, you know, as I've been sharing all these areas of justice that our church is trying to pursue, to be honest with you, I've been discouraged when I share with some churches or some church leaders, just to be honest. You know, because they're like, "Eddie, that's nice for you, but don't involve me." Or they're like, "Why are you involved with that? Hurry up and preach the gospel. What are you doing? Don't get sidetracked." So, you know, it's sometimes been a little bit frustrating, discouraging. But when I was talking to these Christian lawyers, they totally got on board. They're like, "Yeah, of course. That's awesome that you're trying to pursue these eight areas. We bless you. We support you. All this." It was so refreshing just on that level. Because their whole life is studying law and justice, you know? They're like, it's a given. Of course, Christians should be involved in this. So that's one thing. I left refreshed. But the second thing, which again, I did not expect at all, this happened. They so believe in these eight areas of vulnerability that we're trying to help and bring forth justice. They were so encouraged by it, so motivated by it. They offered their whole law school to help us study, research, advocate, and bring forth Korean laws and policy changes on all eight areas in Korean society for free, pro bono, for free. All right, not only that, okay, hold on. That's not all. And they offered their law students as free interns for our ministry every summer and winter break. So basically, get this. We have the whole international law school who is now going to partner with us for free to bring forth justice in Korea. This is what the dean was at this meeting, the guy overseeing the whole law school. He said this, "Eddie, this is divine timing because One of the things that we've been looking for, because what they do every semester is they assign all the law students to be in a small group with a law professor, and they give them practical, real law projects to research, investigate, and see how, as Christians, they can bring about change. And they said, we've been running out of ideas, and so what we wanted to ask, do you have any ideas? And we realized, all those eight, I have a ton of ideas for you, you know? And they want to make their whole law school at our disposal to bring forth justice and righteousness for this nation. Amen. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. There is a favor and an honor from God when we seek to honor Him. You know, when I was walking home, I mean, I was on cloud nine. I was like beaming. I couldn't wait to, one, go home, tell my wife, but also I couldn't wait to share this with you guys. Because as I was, first of all, just telling God, I was like, God, what was that meeting? That was pretty cool. Like, where did that come from? I really felt it as God's encouragement for OEM, saying, OEM, keep going. This is my heart. These are the valuable people that I care about that so few people are caring for, and I'm so glad that you are caring for them. Keep going. Keep pursuing. I am with you, and I will continue to bless you and support you. Amen. Let's pray.